We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
He's had been fun for a long time. No matter, you know, winning or not, you know, the attitude is, it is what it is.
Dale Arnold. The reality is that this game destroys people's brains. Rich Keith.
Dale shows up and you couldn't understand a word he said. He comes in.
I don't know if I can do the show.
He had a bag of medicine, throws it on the table, and we're like, I don't know if that's going to help you. Rossi had to send him home.
Dale and Keith. Middays.
What should I get my wife for Valentine's Day?
You're asking a guy who's been divorced twice about Valentine's Day? What are you, right, crazy?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Can't wait to dive into this Super Bowl breakdown.
Oh, what a game,
by
Dale.
Minute.
What a game!
Let's get into this thing. Let's
look who's
break
back.
It all down.
Rossi, look who's back.
Oh, God.
Look who's back. And he's maybe 70%.
I'm getting there.
Tops. Can we already, tops. I already have two people on call right now.
No, don't you worry.
He's 70%.
I'm here. Don't you worry.
He brought another bag of drugs with him today.
Another whole bag. Well, I did bring the coup de grace, because when I saw you guys a week ago, I didn't yet have.
You didn't have that yet. You had to order that from God knows where, from Amsterdam on its way in.
The big one that was described to me as liquid oxycodone.
That's good.
I like that one a lot.
What are you going to sound like
at noon? A lot.
What are you going to sound like today?
Well, I'm actually more worried about what I'm going to sound like at like 10 tonight after I do the bean pot.
Oh, that's true. Oh, bean pot tonight. Jeez. Double duty?
I got nothing else. I got nowhere else to go.
All right. Were you able to rest at all last week?
Well, here's the deal, too.
What happened?
Like, as you know, I had a little trouble talking last week.
I remember.
Like, you couldn't understand what
not
I
a,
said.
Not a word.
So there's these federal laws now, I'm told. Like, I get a note from Melissa, and Melissa says, you know, if you're out more than 2 days,
uh-oh,
you have to have the doctor fill out this paperwork.
Is that right?
Describes,
oh, I didn't know that.
So I didn't know either. So that was fine. I saw the doctor a lot last week.
I'm sure you did.
So Friday, I took the paperwork into him, and he's looking at it, and he said, did they talk to you at all? And I said, yeah, she called me. He said, and she wonders why you weren't working?
You could have done a really good fake, you know, sick voice.
I could have done that.
Maybe.
So Christian calls me at one point last week.
He's like, are you? Oh, because he got sick.
Well, he wanted to know what the symptoms were, because he was afraid he was getting it. So I answered.
What is that? What kind of call is that? You either have it or you don't.
I think he was actually trying to line up the proper symptoms.
Oh, I gotcha.
So that when he called in, he could say, I got this.
I got what Dale has.
So,
go ahead and ask me.
So he called, and, you know, I answered the phone.
How'd you do that?
And it wasn't easy. And I sort of croaked out a hello, and he goes, oh.
Goodbye. He's like, I don't want to get it worse through the phone.
I don't feel so good.
I'll say, you were so sick that you, without even seeing Greg Dickerson, got him sick for a day last week.
Don't blame me
for
Dickerson.
That's impressive. That is
Fourier, I'll take the rap for.
Fourier,
we
you
worked,
did.
You know, together in
Atlanta.
Well,
we were on a small plane on the way back from Atlanta together. I'm surprised you didn't knock out everybody.
I tried to stay away from people.
You did.
Now, here's, and this is what happened, because Rich knows, because he was there. We get to Atlanta, everything's fine. I show up Tuesday morning, and I'm not feeling very well.
No, you were sick pretty quick.
But, you know, they fly you to Atlanta to do the show. Are you going to say, Joe, look, I'll be back at the hotel, okay? I don't feel very well. I'm gonna sort of hang low for a couple days.
I don't think so.
So I worked, and it kept getting worse as the week went on.
Friday, you were a disaster.
Friday, and not to get too graphic here, but Thursday
but
and Friday,
why not?
When I would wake up, and my eye would be stuck shut. And it was like,
disgusting.
Okay, now where do we go from here?
Disgusting.
So, then
the weekend it got worse.
Well, different,
because you couldn't talk.
Well, my doctor calls me Friday night, and he said, listen, I'm going to call in this prescription for this Robitussin with codeine.
Yes.
He said, but the good stuff, the stuff from Amsterdam, you actually have to have a paper script for. I can't call this in.
Oh, boy.
I'm not allowed.
I don't know if I can do the show.
Yeah, exactly.
It's heavy duty.
So I'm using the Robitussin with codeine all weekend.
Sure,
and it's like
all
weekend. It's like I'm drinking vitamin water.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it does nothing.
A little scissor? You got to get some scissor.
It didn't do anything.
Or some lean.
So then Monday, I come in to see you fellas.
Yeah, why'd you do that, by the way?
I was going to try.
That was a waste.
I was going to try.
It was like The Walking Dead. It was like if The Walking Dead could drive a vehicle, like if they had the capability of driving a car, that's what it was on Monday.
So on my way home after after Rossi sent me home.
Yeah, tail between your legs.
On my way home, I stopped by the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Got the script for the magic stuff from Amsterdam.
And then when did that come in?
I got it Monday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
And started taking it Monday afternoon.
And it's kind of working? You don't sound 100%.
I don't feel that bad.
Okay.
I certainly don't feel like I did.
No.
Last week.
No.
And it, you know, and so I saw him Friday.
Yeah.
And I said, he says, well, what do you want to do? Well, you don't know.
You need some scissors. This will get you back. You'll be fine.
I couldn't find Purple Drank anywhere.
You got to get some.
So I'm thinking, he says, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to kind of ease back in. And he says, what does that mean? I said, I'm going to do the Bruins Saturday and Sunday. And then back on radio Monday. And the problem is, easing back in means I had Bruins Saturday, Sunday, Beanpot Monday, Tuesday, geez. And then radio from now through the end of the week. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes. Fingers
but
crossed.
But I miss talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they won. Patriots
did
won.
Did they?
Yeah, they won.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it was lower scoring than we expected, but they found a way to win.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
Mutt had the lock was the over, right?
I missed that one, but we as a show had the Patriots minus three.
I just got my payoff a few minutes ago.
That's right.
Steve, it paid for my next shipment from Denmark.
That's right. Money bags. Diossi was in on Friday, was giving out everybody their winnings. I tried to tell him, Dale, I got a good feeling about the Bruins on Saturday and Sunday.
Did
so
ya?
Why don't we just roll it right over?
I'd have been willing.
Wait, nope, didn't happen.
Didn't feel so good about them after me.
You wanted to?
No, I didn't. Good thing we didn't.
No, I would have gone money line.
We weren't going with half. Both games.
Both games, I know, money line. I would have gone money line. We would have won. Both of them.
So we'd be have like
you are like
thousands
you are like
dollars.
Addicted. I am now, aren't
a little bit
you? Like
a,
me and the taste. Stuff from Denmark. You
real,
and the
yes.
gambling bug.
I have
is,
a real taste for. There's plenty of stuff to gamble on still. Just because the NFL's over doesn't mean you can't spend your money wisely.
I will say this because I had some time to watch.
Yes.
Over the last week, watched the Super Bowl a couple of times, as many people have done.
Sure.
Watched the mic'd up thing, the NFL. Oh, just
pretty cool.
And then Turning Point. On FS1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know what I learned as I watched this? I don't think Aaron Donald is overrated. I mean,
he's
really
great.
Great.
Yeah.
You know what? Joe Tooney is really great.
Tooney's great.
We haven't given him anywhere near.
Yeah.
Turning Point really focused on in the fourth quarter when they basically told Tooney, you got him all by yourself. Go take care of him. And he did.
Incredible. Yeah, I don't know how many other guys can do that. And it's funny because most people from the outside would say he's not even the best guard on the team. Like, Shaq Mason's the one that gets all the attention. Shaq Mason, those Pro Football Focus ratings, has him number one. He's the guy who just signed that monster contract. But Joe Tooney's the guy who has been in the league for 3 years and has started three Super Bowls, which is a crazy
first
stat.
First guy in NFL history.
Yeah, I don't know, that's never going to happen again. But that whole line, if you think about whether it was Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram or Chris Jones, Justin Houston and Dee Ford or Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue, Dante Fowler, that is as impressive a run. Like the defense gets a ton of credit and they should because they slowed down all these high-powered offenses and that's a story onto its own. But the offensive line to be able to limit elite pass rushers in each round, I mean, Brady was never getting hit throughout the postseason. That was just incredible.
And Turning Point really focused on the offensive line matchup, even more than Mic'd Up did.
Yeah.
And you could, now, I don't watch Aaron Donald play all that much. You know, you don't get to see him every game like we watch the Patriots play. Is he that geeked up always? Because on Mic'd Up especially,
so
I mean, he's like,
singing and
he's like wandering
and
back and forth and he's muttering to himself. And I'm thinking, it's almost like he's got himself to such a state. Is that what he's like every game?
I think he might be. I mean, was it back-to-back, the defensive player of the year? He had over 20 sacks this season. I mean, the guy's an absolute menace. And you saw him, some of the highlights against the Saints in the NFC Championship game, taking good offensive linemen for the Saints and just driving them back into the hole. And just, he's able to normally beat every single one-on-one and beat double teams. But then the Patriots were able to limit him. They really, it's sort of a trademark of Belichick's, but when you have a great player on either side of the ball, Belichick can usually kind of nullify that one guy.
And speaking of Belichick, I made the point during the game on Twitter. I said, you know, at some point is Tony Romo going to give Brian Flores any credit for what's happening?
Never heard of him.
Because he never even said Flores' name.
No, Belichick's defense the whole time.
And when you watch Turning Point and you watch Mic'd Up, it's clear He let his coordinators run the thing.
Oh yeah, Flores, absolutely. And that was
the one thing where he's got Flores, and I forget who the other coach is. He says, "Look, we got 15 snaps left.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure we
know
everybody.
And we know what they're doing.
Yeah, let's get everybody in the right place. Right. Let's make the right calls." But he's not saying to them, "All right, listen, Brian, dial up this blitz, and I want you to bring this guy. Do the zero blitz here."
I think you could see the difference, not just in the end results, but you could see the difference between Matt Patricia's defense and Brian Flores' defense.
"Okay, look, we got about maybe 15 calls left in this game.
Yep.
Let's go through and get them right here. Let's just know what we're going to call here. Yep. All right, make sure we have the right personnel in the game, and you know we know what we're doing.
We don't have much left here now. We got to get it right. Let's make sure we're straight on the doubles. Let's make sure we're straight on the calls, okay? They really can't beat us. We just can't screw it up now. If we're on it, they don't got anything, all right? Let's make sure we got it right, okay? Make sure we got it right."
See, that's not running the defense or running the offense.
That was an understatement, though, saying they don't got anything.
No, they...
The Rams had nothing. Holy smokes, they had nothing. But look at the pressure that Brian Flores would dial up. That was certainly different than Matt Patricia.
The zero blitz that led to the Stephon Gilmore interception was
perfect.
Brilliant.
Perfect. Terrible throw, but a perfect play.
But because of Daron Harmon.
Yeah, you forced him into it. Now, you look at the last 3 years, there has been a coordinator in the Super Bowl that has then left for a head coaching job. And the previous two, Kyle Shanahan with Atlanta, really couldn't have gone much worse. The way that game ended, couldn't have gone worse. They scored a bunch of points early, but then it was a disaster after. Then he goes and takes the 49ers job. Matt Patricia can't stop Nick Foles once in the Super Bowl. Then he goes on to Detroit. Meanwhile, Brian Flores, did you see this stat that was going around on the old Twitter? That the New England Patriots allowed 7 points in the first half to the Chargers, Chiefs, and Rams, which were the first, second, and sixth ranked offenses. Not in that order, but they were first, second, and sixth. The last playoff team to allow 7 points or less in 3 playoff games was the 85 Bears.
They were pretty good. I don't know if you remember.
85 Bears! And it was against offenses that were much worse.
Buddy Ryan is, Hall of Fame worthy because of that defense.
I forget who tweeted that, so I apologize for not giving you credit. But I saw that, that's just insane. And they did it against better teams. Now, I know the Chiefs ended up scoring a lot of points in the second half. Even the Chargers scored some, the game was over, but they put some points on the board. But the defense was, and one that we had questioned throughout the year, they couldn't have played better, really, in the playoffs. And Brian Flores is a huge part of that. Because he had a lot of the same players that Matt Patricia had.
Yes.
Like, Jason McCourty's different. I guess I'll give you Danny Shelton and Adrian Claiborne. Those guys suck, though. And Dante Hightower was healthy.
Danny Shelton had one really nice play in that Super Bowl, though.
Yes, he did. I was surprised he was even active. But yes, he did.
Even Bill Belichick said, "Nice play, Danny."
Yeah, way to go, Danny. That's why we got you. We knew you had it in you all along. But so, I mean, that was really, for Flores, you could not possibly leave on a higher note going to another job.
With Flores going to the Miami Dolphins, the stat gets updated. Since January of 2000, the New England Patriots have had one head coach. The Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, and New York Jets have now had 26.
Ridiculous. And two new ones this year.
Right.
And that list also includes guys like Rex Ryan and Adam Gase, who have coached two teams within the division, which is just insane.
And by the way, I think Brian Flores has a chance to be really good.
You know what's funny is Tom Curran, I don't know, Rossi, if you have that from last week, because I was asking the same thing, because you look at the Belichick coaching tree, and Bill O'Brien is probably the best one.
And he's sort of,
and it's not great, it's
good,
right?
Like, it's not great.
He'll get his team to the playoffs, but they're not going to do anything. And they've had some talent, and so he's the best one. All the other guys have really been a mess. And it's only 1 year for Patricia. We'll see what happens in year two. I don't have very high hopes, but you wonder if Brian Flores has an opportunity.
Well, he's taken half the coaching staff with him.
I was going to say, which, do you think Belichick is wild about that?
Well, some guys' contracts were up. Some guys were getting promotions.
So if you're getting a promotion, I think that...
He doesn't usually stand in the way of that.
Right.
The one guy's going to the Chiefs, defensive passing game coordinator, which is a whole new one for me.
Yeah, you got to have a passing game coordinator.
On defense.
On top of it. Well, it is a passing game.
Andy Reid doesn't
have
enough coaches.
No, he doesn't.
He's got a time management coach for crying out loud.
Add a few more guys to the staff there. But we don't have it. So anyway, Curran, I asked Curran, does Flores have a chance? And he says he thinks it's a terrible spot. He says it doesn't matter who it is. He just doesn't think anybody would succeed in Miami. So he's not even looking at Flores individually. I think the line even said was...
They already got rid of Tannehill, which you were advocating for.
Yeah, I think they should. But then, so now you're really starting over. And so where do you go from there? Like, what kind of quarterback do you have? I think Tom's line was even something like, if Vince Lombardi was the coach there in Miami, it wouldn't work. So he has, like, no faith in the Dolphins. But we'll see if Flores can kind of pull a miracle out of his hat.
Pretty good to be Julian Edelman right now, isn't it?
He was at the Grammys.
I saw.
Did you see him at the Grammys?
He started out with getting shaved by Ellen.
Yeah, what better thing than that?
Good move getting rid of the hair shovel.
He had a lot.
It looked awful.
He had a lot going on there.
It was horrible.
I don't understand how he could wear the face mask and how he with the chin strap.
Probably he had to get bigger chin strapped.
It didn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, stuff all that in there.
Oh, yeah, before we get to Edelman, here was Curran's answer about Brian Flores. From what you know of Brian Flores, what kind of chance do you give him as being a successful head coach? Obviously not the greatest opportunity or the greatest team to go to, but that's sort of the nature of the business. Those are the jobs that are available, and it's staying in the division, but the personality, the way he coaches, all of that, how do you think he's going to do as a head coach?
I think he's screwed because it has nothing. You could put Vince Lombardi down there, the ghost of Vince Lombardi, the corpse, whatever's left of him, put him down there, and it wouldn't work either. We see it year in and year out. If you don't have a quarterback, you can't play. They're going to untether themselves from Ryan Tannehill. I don't know what free agency is going to yield for them. Last year, their leading rusher was old dude.
Frank Gore. Frank Gore.
Thank you.
He's like third or fourth all-time in rushing yards, right. I think. He's been in the league for 20 years.
Yeah, you got a shoe-in Hall of Famer because he's a volume guy, but he's 35. He's your leading rusher. Danny Amendola was their leading pass catcher.
Right.
At 33. Now he's probably going to be a New York Jet. So Brian Flores is walking into a situation where it doesn't matter if he was Winston Churchill. It's going to be hard to inspire without guys to carry out the plan. So hopefully it'll take a couple years and they'll give him a couple years.
Not giving him much of a chance.
Well, he got the longest contract for any new coach. He got a guaranteed 5-year deal. Most guys get 4 years and an option, which they never make it to the fifth year anyway.
No.
He's got 5 years guaranteed. Just listening to the defensive players on the Patriots.
They seem to love him.
The admiration they have for this guy. It's almost like if you listen to Patriots offensive linemen talking about Dante Scarnecchia, that's what Patriots defensive players sound like talking about Brian Flores, wanting to send him off on a high note, wanting him to be able to go, with a Super Bowl championship under his belt. And the game plan, sorry, Tony Romo, the Brian Flores game plan in the Super Bowl was art.
Yeah, Jared Goff had nothing. He was awful. Sean McVay was awful. I mean, then those guys will be back. They'll have plenty of opportunities, but they were so bad, and a huge part of that was Flores. And I feel like there was a lot of really good things said about Matt Patricia as well. So that's the only reason why I kind of hesitate, because I feel like some of these other guys that have left in the past, it was, hey, there was a lot of success, obviously. There was Super Bowl appearances or Super Bowl victories. And you say, well, this guy, the players like him. But now when you go and you have to become your own guy, it has really been a challenge for all the guys that have left Belichick. A lot of them have tried to be Belichick, and that's obviously been a mistake.
That's usually not a good point.
That does not work. So we'll see with Flores. I mean, he's got to find a quarterback. That's the first thing.
So back to Julian Edelman, who started his post-Super Bowl run by getting rid of the hair shovel, courtesy of Ellen. Good move by him.
Right.
Then we got an opportunity to see him at the Grammys.
Him and Devin.
And Devin
McCourty
were both there.
Did a nice job. Did you like how that kind of was full circle? Lady Gaga, of course, performed at halftime. When they were losing to the Falcons, and then she helped really spark the comeback in my mind.
I'd like to pretend that I watched a lot of the Grammys last night.
Were you asleep?
That would be a lie. No.
Oh.
I got home from working.
Yes.
And then I watched the Patrice Bergeron special on Nessun, and then I crashed.
Of course.
And then I crashed. Yeah. I couldn't find Purple Drank anywhere. I've looked everywhere.
Lady Gaga was there, so she won an award, and Devin McCourty and Julian Edelman handed it to her.
That was very nice.
It was a very nice thing.
And then today, Peter King's Football Morning in America column is basically centered around Julian Edelman. He's the star of the Peter King column today. He's getting the Tom Brady post-Super Bowl rush that we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
Julian Edelman's getting it this year.
Yeah, he is. And then you even saw him at Disney with Brady. There was a nice little thing. Just the two of those guys taking in some rides, doing some lightsaber work, and just having a nice old time.
I was a little disappointed that they showed them on that little caterpillar.
I'm sure they did a lot of rides, but they had a good shot.
That one seemed a little
tame. He's living the dream
right now. How about Tower of Terror?
Maybe they did. Maybe no cameras allowed. I don't
wanted
know.
To see the footage of that.
I know, but he's
see
living,
Tom clutching Julian's arm.
But he's the Super Bowl MVP, so he's out there. He's living the dream right now.
Heard you guys discuss this last week. We're not going to rehash it all.
Yeah,
about the whole Hall of Fame discussion, which has been a big topic of discussion.
Yeah,
not just here.
No, it started right after
nationally.
The Super Bowl. It started because Boomer Esiason and Nate Burleson before they even got into the game, and that's what I was saying because D'Ossi was in on Monday, and we were talking about it with Rossi. I'm like, I really just want to celebrate the season and the Super Bowl, but if those guys are already going to, is he a Hall of Famer? It did become a topic.
I heard you, debunking it pretty strenuously.
I am a
ranked
no.
Ranked like 143rd overall.
Lower.
Well, something like that. I couldn't remember the exact number.
I am a
number.
Stern no.
I understand that. I do think that, and we said this going into the Super Bowl, if he goes out and has another really strong performance, now I did not predict MVP,
Super Bowl MVP.
And all that stuff.
But he's building a case.
He's building a case.
So where
I'm not
are you right now?
He's some lock Hall of Famer. I think that he's in the discussion at this point.
Now, for you, I know you are a no on PED guys in baseball.
Yes.
You're an adamant no on baseball.
And I heard that discussion last
Does
week
Does that apply
as well.
To football for you?
And it doesn't. Only because...
Why not?
Because people don't care about PEDs in football.
Well, I know, but I'm asking you. So you
care
about them in baseball, but not
yes,
in football?
Yeah.
You don't think that's hypocritical at all?
It's totally hypocritical. Of course it is.
Okay.
In baseball, there is little doubt in my mind that guys like Bonds and Clemens and McGuire and Sosa took PEDs specifically to improve their production. And Bonds especially, who was a Hall of Fame performer before he ever took anything.
So why did Edelman do it?
In my opinion, he wanted to get back on the field as quickly as he could.
And so that's
try to
okay?
get and try to get. It's the same way when Rodney Harrison got busted.
Yeah.
Now he didn't flunk a drug test. He got a shipment shipped to his house.
No, I understand.
But it was the exact same thing where he's trying to get and what these guys go through physically. I almost don't blame them for what they try to do.
Yeah, but you can
to
make
be able
the case,
to get back on the field.
You can make the case that A-Rod was doing them so he could play 162 games.
See, I don't believe that. I believe A-Rod was doing them because he wanted his numbers to go.
So
up.
You could cheat, but only if you're cheating the right way mind.
I already. Freely admitted it's hypocritical on my
part.
No,
I know. I'm just trying
to make
sense of it.
I do look at it differently. Huh. In football, first of all, PEDs in football are not considered the same as they are in baseball. The whole four-game suspension for Edelman. And by the way, he's not trying to duck it. He's in the Peter King piece today.
He wouldn't get into it.
Well, he basically said, look, I will never make that mistake again.
Yeah.
So he's admitting
Which
it.
Makes me believe that he knows exactly
yeah,
what
no,
it
no,
was.
He does.
If you say, I'm not going to do it again.
I'll never do it again. I'll never make that mistake again.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
That's fine. I do look at it differently, and that's probably wrong on my part, but I do.
Yeah, so to me, I say let them all do whatever they want, and let them all get into the Hall of Fame. So for me, Edelman's not a Hall of Famer, but it has nothing to do with his PEDs. I just think that if you're going to keep Bonds and some of these guys, A-Rod and Manny, out of the Hall of Fame, I think it would apply the same to Edelman.
All right, we've gone as long as we can without talking about the walking dumpster fire that is the Boston Celtics. I was actually feeling for you last week.
They are just... Oh, my God.
We'll get into that when we come back in just a couple of minutes. We'll get to the calls with you in a few minutes as well. Chris Mannix is going to join us later on in the program. Speaking of the walking dumpster fire that is the Boston Celtics.
He can help us out with that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe. Yeah, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
UEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Been a little minute. You know, we have talked about it. Been a little minute, but, you know, for us to be a championship team, man, that's to change. You know, we have to, you know, change. We want to win. That has to be the first goal, whatever that takes. And, you know, I'm with it. If they want to take me out, start line up, and get some juice in there, I'm with it, man. But I'm trying to win. That's the main goal. Trade down line's over. This is the team we rocking with. This is what we going with. So, at the end of the day, man, we it's unacceptable what we did tonight. It's very unacceptable for a team of our caliber.
Kind of like what he said, to be honest with you. By the way, a quick note of thanks.
What a sad sack.
A quick note of thanks, if I can, to one of our texters. It says, Dale, your problem is you're worn out, too much on your plate, your body's telling you to slow down, you're not a spring chicken anymore, and quit gambling. The stress doesn't help you either.
Could be.
Thank you, doctor.
You do.
You know, the whole gambling issue.
You kind of lose your mind a little bit.
As soon as Rossi handed me that envelope today,
now you're back in.
All the stress came back in.
You got to bet on the Celtics ever again?
No. So, I actually agree with everything Marcus Morris said. Now, let me ask you a general question first, then we'll narrow down.
Yeah.
Do you think Danny Ainge has a talented team here?
Yes.
I agree with you.
Without question, he does.
Which means this is on the coach.
This is a Brad Stevens issue.
And Brad Stevens has been Teflon in this town. Since the day he came on board, he's been Teflon. Nobody ever criticizes Brad Stevens. Occasionally you'll get what about his minutes, his rotations, but it's really meek and mild compared to the, you know, Belichick's done, you got to get him the hell out of here. So this is Brad Stevens' issue, right?
This is a Brad Stevens issue for sure. And it looked like about halfway through the season that they're at right now, so where they're at about halfway through this schedule, he changed the starting lineup. And because he was going with his five most talented guys, or at least the guys that you thought were the five most talented. And we can get into Gordon Hayward. That has become certainly another whole issue onto its own. But he went with the five most talented guys. That didn't work out. He subbed out Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward for Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart. And that really did give them a shot in the arm. Now, their overall record never jumped up to number one in the East or number two in the East, but you could tell they were better. There was that stretch. I think Chris Forsberg had the stat about where they ranked over the first 20 games compared to the next 20 games in points, assists, average margin of victory, all of these things. They looked like a much improved team. But what happens, even at the beginning of the year, they would go on these stretches where you would think, all right, this is the team that we all expected to see this year. And then they would have a really unexplainable loss. They would have a terrible loss, or they'd put together two or three terrible losses. You go back to January, they beat the Pacers by like 30 points. And he said, this is a big one. That was when they still had Oladipo. That was a team that was above them in the standings. You're like, this is them. This is the team. They follow that up with losses to Miami, Orlando, and Brooklyn, where Kyrie Irving is upset about the last play of a game. Kyrie Irving is ripping Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is then ripping Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's calling Braun. The whole thing was obnoxious. I hated that. But then how did they follow that up? They beat Toronto. Then they win 10 of 11, the only loss being to Golden State. And you're saying, well, wait a minute. Now this is the team. We've said that every month. We said, now this is the team. And then they blow an 18-point lead to the Lakers the day of the trade deadline. So the trade deadline has passed. You're aware that this is your team going forward. You have an 18-point lead at home to the Lakers, and you blow it.
Hasn't been fun, man.
And it's not fun. And you're like, that's pretty bad. It can't get worse than that. Oh, Dale, it can. Just wait 48 hours for when they play the Clippers
that's
and are up by 28 points. They lost by 28 points. So the Celtics are done. Celtics are cooked. Their attitude towards each other, it's not even, they don't even hate each other. You would almost respect it if they did hate each other, because at least there's some real passion there. These guys don't like playing with each other. I don't even know if they hate it. They just kind of tolerate, they just kind of do. And they're, Marcus Morris is, you know, all sad, and now he's pulling like a reverse Lane Johnson. He's like, we don't have any fun. This is
sad. Hasn't been fun, man.
Like he's so but he's just laying into the guys
blowing 28-point leads.
Well, then figure it
18
out.
18-point leads.
You guys are super talented. And you shouldn't be losing to the Clippers.
I agree.
That's
with,
on you.
I agree with you that at least part of this is on the players. I'm with you on that. But damn it, the coach has got to figure some things out too.
Yeah, he does.
And I like Brad Stevens a lot. I mean, I think he's done a really good job since he's been here. The problem now is he's been handed the most talented roster Danny's ever given him, and he is coughing up a furball with it.
This is the first year he has ever had huge expectations. Maybe going back to the year after he went to the national title at Butler, because that kind of came out of nowhere. Then the next year, they're like, well, maybe you got to go back. But even then, they lost Gordon Hayward. So you could probably say in his entire coaching career, the biggest expectations ever put on him is this year. Because the previous seasons that he was in Boston, he always got the most out of the team. He's been here for 5 years, and has always gotten a little bit more. They had the 1 year where they were terrible, but he had maybe the worst roster in the league, and they just wanted a high pick. After that, he's made the playoffs every year. They make the Isaiah trade. They're getting into the playoffs. They get swept out the first year, but they really shouldn't even have been there. The next year, they go back. They win a couple of games. Then you see last year, they're a game away from the NBA Finals without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. So he does a great job with little talent. You give him a ton of talent. They've played 56 games. That's a pretty good sample size. He's not getting the most out of this talent. And I think there's clearly a divide with Kyrie Irving, Marcus Morris, and Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier. There's a clear divide there. And then Gordon Hayward is kind of caught in the middle. And you know what he kind of feels like to me? Is like the coach's son. Like in high school, like or even like middle school, when the coach's kid is on the team, and if he's getting a ton of minutes and maybe he's not great, everybody's put up with that before in any sport. I think he has sort of from the outside, I bet Jaylen Brown looks at him like, really? This guy still, he's clearly not healthy, but he has a relationship with Brad. They just signed him to a max deal, and Brad Stevens is going to continue to play him. I think Hayward's been a problem, and I also think Tatum and Brown, they got so much confidence last year. I don't know if they thought it was going to be easier or what it is, but none of it is fit together.
Now, setting aside the call to LeBron, which I know put you out for
I'm done with Kyrie.
Try to set that aside, okay?
Yes.
Is Kyrie Irving the right guy for this team?
Well, he's the right guy because he's so talented, and you need to be able to figure it out with him.
At some point, you got to stop with that, Keith.
Really?
You're always,
so show me a non-talented team that has won. Show me a team with the least talent that has ever won before.
No, my point is simply that it's not just talent that wins.
Pretty close,
LeBron's
though.
The most talented player in the NBA. His team sucks. In large part.
Because he also missed 18 games with a groin injury.
I understand
injury.
That, but my
he
point
would
is
make the playoffs
even
with his
he
team.
Can't take...
Yes, he can. Did you see the Cavs last season? He did. He took them to the finals.
Kyrie
was
Irving,
terrible.
If Kyrie Irving is a supremely talented player,
yeah, he is.
We'll say one of the top 10 players in the NBA.
I think
because he's in the starting lineup of the NBA All-Star game.
But even without that,
but even
that's a popularity contest. But even
fine.
Still,
he's a top 10 player in the NBA.
Yeah.
But if he causes issues, if there are problems around him, if he can't get along with his teammates, if his teammates don't like putting up with him, guys rolling their eyes about things that he says, then at some point you have to say, I don't care how talented he is, he doesn't fit here.
Well, see, so you want to get rid of him?
Well, you can't now. You don't have any choice.
But next year he may just leave. Like, so you'd be happy getting rid of him?
I'm wondering if you're going to be better off without him than you are with him.
I don't think so at all.
Well, let me ask you this. Were they better off without him last year than they are with him this year?
No.
Yes, they were.
No, not at all. The Eastern Conference was much worse last year.
But
And you had no chance.
The standard eye test here is, which team did you like better? Watching play.
Did I
last
like
year's
better?
Team? Which team did you think was better? Year's team or this year?
This team.
Oh, I don't.
This team has more talent. It's all about talent.
I don't care about talent.
You should care about talent. It's the NBA.
Which team plays better?
This team has a better chance. This team definitely has a better chance. That team had zero chance of winning a title last year. Zero.
Well, this team has zero chance. They might not make the playoffs, for God's sakes, the way they're going.
Get slappy. They're going to make the playoffs, but I just think that this team at least has that puncher's chance because of the talent. I'm not picking them right now. I think they're done. I think they're cooked. I think the way that they are dealing with each other and the on-court product is terrible, but Kyrie Irving gives you that superstar player that you need to win, that you need to compete. Last year, it did. It was fun to watch, but it had a fool's gold kind of mentality the whole time. The whole time watching, you said, if they're somehow able to beat the Cavs, what would have happened in the NBA Finals? probably worse than what actually happened to the Cavs, which was just a complete beatdown. So they had no chance last year. It was a fun ride, but guess what? The Sixers are better. The Raptors are better. The Bucks are better. Everybody in the Eastern Conference is much better. The Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier-led Celtics would not make it to a game away from the NBA Finals this year.
We talked about Brad Stevens, and this is in his lap right now, because we think Danny Ainge has handed him a really talented roster.
Yeah.
With the issues that you've seen this team exhibit all season long, is part of the problem because Kyrie Irving's not listening to the guy who's running the bench?
I don't know. I mean, I think clearly there is a bit of a disconnect there.
Sure seems.
Right? I mean, it does. It feels like there's a disconnect. Kyrie Irving, when you're the best player, you do get the credit when you win, and you get more of the blame when you lose. So he definitely needs to be on the short list. But I think that he, when he's been out on the court, has played well. I really do. I think it's a bigger issue with the other guys around him. I think the inconsistencies of Jaylen Brown, who had a nice stretch when they won 10 out of 11, he was a big part of that. But when they were playing poorly before, it was like he and Gordon Hayward, you never got both of them playing well at the same time. Ever. I think it has more to do with maybe the minutes that Brad Stevens is giving Gordon Hayward. Honestly, we found out that Aaron Baines was pretty significant for him, and he missed a lot of games due to injury. And that guy,
that's more significant than we gave him credit for.
I think certainly. I think when you were ranking the guys, I had him, you know, maybe the eighth most important player, but just he provides something different that a lot of the other guys don't. And when he was out, they missed him. But yeah, Kyrie Irving, every guy is. Should be, you know, under the microscope here. There's not a single guy that you say, well, he's doing everything right. No, because even with one of the stuff that Kyrie was doing to reporter, like the stuff he was saying, I don't know how that would help the team. And then Jaylen Brown even called him out on it. And then in Kyrie's like weird way of apologizing, he kind of threw those guys under the bus even more.
I forget who it was, and I apologize for not giving credit properly. I think it was Steve Bulpet. If I'm wrong, I apologize to who it was. Somebody did a breakdown on Twitter over the weekend of, and at this point, I think it was 106 games, Kyrie Irving's first 106 games for the Celtics, and compared them with the first 106 games of Isaiah Thomas's Celtics career.
Are they pretty similar?
No, Isaiah Thomas was better.
Really?
In almost every category. I mean, when you looked at it, you went, wow. And I think Kyrie Irving's great. You think he's great. I think he's a top player.
Yeah.
You look at the numbers, and you realize Isaiah Thomas was giving the Celtics more than Kyrie Irving has.
Yeah, but I think you can make a lot of numbers say different things, because there's no way Isaiah Thomas is as good as Kyrie. There's just no chance.
That's what I think too. But the numbers tell you Isaiah Thomas played better for the Celtics than Kyrie Irving.
But I think Isaiah Thomas was also on a team that didn't have any scorers. You know, so if you're looking at points and things like he just always had the ball in his hands and he was always shooting. They needed him to score a ton of points. He was going to average more points. Now, were the wins and losses? I mean, that's the most important thing. And those were probably somewhat similar. I just think there's sort of a cap on the Isaiah Thomas ceiling. Then, I mean, now obviously he's hurt. I'm not comparing him now. I'm saying then there was sort of whatever you got. It was great. It was fun to watch. But ultimately, you were going to meet a team in the playoffs that you just weren't going to be able to beat. Whereas Kyrie gives you that next level. Like, you need that guy final 2 minutes that can take over a game. I know Isaiah was Mr. Fourth Quarter and all that stuff, but it's not the same as Kyrie when he's going well.
I actually agree with you that I think this roster is more talented than last year's. That's pretty clear.
You
got Hayward back. You got Kyrie back. It's got to be better. Last year's team was better. Last year's Celtics team was better than this year's Celtics team.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Even though this year's Celtics roster is more talented. Now, part of that, as we said, is Brad Stevens. You're the guy.
Yeah.
You're the man. You're the boss. You've got to get as much as you can out of the roster that you're given. We just saw a football coach win a Super Bowl with a roster that most people didn't think was as talented as others.
It is. It's got to be really strange for Stevens, because he's always been able to. The thing with him is he takes a good player and makes him great. Right, like look about how much money he got Evan Turner, how much money he ended up even getting Kelly Olynyk, even what he was able to get out of Isaiah Thomas, you know, his best year and a half in the pros. He could take those guys and like Jay Crowder, like he made Jay Crowder look like a really good player, or I would say an above average player. He's having a hard time getting through to these super talented guys, because how many times after games did they just say, you know, we didn't play hard enough, or like we had these lulls, or the team got back into it? I mean, you blow an 18-point lead and a 28-point lead in back-to-back games. you're much more talented than the Clippers. You're more talented than the Lakers. They have LeBron, but everybody else, you'd rather have the Celtics roster than the Lakers roster. And to see them have to question their effort night after night, like, what is that?
By the way, that's valid.
I watch them. Oh, they are.
Now, that's the one thing Brad Stevens has no control over. Effort is strictly 100% in the hands of the individual players. But if you're not trying hard at the NBA level, you're not giving the same effort.
And so that's why if you're Brad Stevens, you need to be able to identify who's not giving you the effort and then bench them. Like, that's one of the things when you have a deep roster like this. Guess what? If Jaylen Brown is jogging back on defense, done. We'll get somebody else in there. If Terry Rozier is upset because he's not playing as much and he's kind of jogging through on defense, sit him down.
Here's the problem if you're Brad Stevens. Would you do it to Kyrie Irving?
Should.
No, I said, would you?
Oh.
And my answer is no, he wouldn't, so he can't do it to Terry Rozier.
But he's going to... Well, whatever he's doing right now, he needs to maybe think about doing it a little bit differently.
Oh, right, I agree completely.
You have one of those talented teams.
But to your point, if Kyrie looks like he's, you know, skating, coming back on defense, is Brad going to say, hey, come on over here and sit with me?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
But guess what? Terry Rozier and Kyrie Irving shouldn't be coached the same. Like, they shouldn't be. Just like Rob Gronkowski and Jacob Hollister shouldn't be coached the same. So if you want to have a little bit separate...
you ever questioned Rob Gronkowski's effort, I could see Bill Belichick, you know...
That's a bad example, because Bill Belichick's also Bill Belichick.
Right,
Brad Stevens is not Bill Belichick.
And nobody else is.
Nobody else is. That's a tough one. But I can understand, though, some players might be coached up a little bit differently, but it's just been so frustrating, because what they do is they suck you back in. This is what the Celtics do. They have a really bad loss, or they lose two or three in a row, and you're ready to write them off. And then they rip off this winning streak. They rip off these high-scoring games or these insane quarters where everybody's knocking down threes. And you're like, yeah, you know what? This team can do it. But then they do something like this again. Then you have Marcus Morris complaining about how they're not having fun and how miserable the experience is. So I'm done. I don't care if they win the next six games in a row. Done. This team's not going anywhere in the playoffs.
Let's get to the calls with you and kick it off with Arthur in New Hampshire. Hey, Arthur, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Listen, I know it's hard to swallow because he's so talented, but I gotta agree with Dale that I do think this team's better without him for two reasons. The first reason, it just doesn't seem like him and Brad Stevens are on the same page, which seems to be a poor example for not just the young guys, but the other guys on the team, all the team. And secondly, when I watch this team, the transition game on defense and on offense is gone with Kyrie. They just don't run as much. And those two young guys on the wing, Tatum and Brown, they need to run to flourish. I think this team would be better off with a facilitator first at point rather than a scorer first at point. I'll let you guys talk about it.
All right, Arthur, thanks for the call. I just don't think – I think they need the scoring there, because Jason Tatum probably could do it. Like, if you asked him to do it, I think he could score a lot. But there's no way, if you're relying on Jaylen Brown to score night in and night out, I don't think it's going to work. And scoring point guards definitely work. I mean, look around the league. Most teams, there's more scoring point guards, I feel like, now in the league than there is passing point guards. Not that they can't have high assist totals. And if anything, Kyrie Irving is having a career year in assists. So he is distributing the ball. He's obviously going to take a lot of shots, but he should. He's their best offensive player.
Richard's in Dorchester. Hey, Richard.
Do you really believe the Celtics season is over?
I think they're not going to go far in the playoffs.
Why do you think that?
Because I think the Raptors are better, I think the Bucks are better, and I think the Sixers are better.
How do you think they fix this, Richard?
They've gotten better, but I believe the Celtics are still more talented than both teams. So
Then why aren't they winning?
Yeah, but Richard, I'm with you. I think they've been more talented than all those teams all year, and yet they're fifth in the standings.
That is true, but it's only the regular season. We're writing them off in the playoffs like they can't get it together. There's still, what, 20-some odd games left?
Yeah, but this team has never been able – this team has never even been together. So it's one thing if LeBron James, in years past, his team was second or third, and you said, well, they can flip a switch. You were right, because they've done it, and we've seen it in the past. This team has never done it, so I can't say they're going to do something that I've never seen happen yet.
But Brad Stevens has experience in the playoffs, and, I mean, the younger kids got experience last year. Why wouldn't they be able to get it together? I believe they'd be able to get together. I don't believe their season's over, even though they're having a tough time. It's the basketball season.
Well, you're more optimistic than I am.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, statistically, you're right. The season's not over. I understand that. They haven't been eliminated from playoff contention. But tell me anything you've seen that would indicate that they're suddenly going to turn this thing around. Because I am not seeing it.
I don't see it at all.
617-779-7937. Chris Mannix will join us at the bottom of the next hour. We'll get his input on this whole thing as well. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are the smartest, most intelligent show in Boston. Just ask us.
I like stats. I'm a stat guy. Vorp, very important to me.
And I include almost everybody on this radio station and almost everybody on that radio station. They don't know.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
By the way, I will say this. What I didn't miss the week that I was, you know, not with you.
Yes.
What I didn't miss was the commute in. Which today was a
bit of a
nightmare for folks who got trapped on the Mass Pike eastbound because of the two left lanes closed at one point. And oh my God.
See, I kind of like it now. I like being with the people, you know, the 9-to-5ers, the ham and eggers. Like, I like to be a part of that experience.
Attaboy, Keith. Man of the people.
Man, that's exactly what I think.
That's how I think of you. Man of the people type. Good for you.
Yep.
617-779-7937. Al's on the cell phone. Hey, Al.
What's up, Al? Al!
I'll put him on hold, see if you can find him.
Al!
Andre's in Cranston. Hey, Andre.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
Good. I believe the Celtics' young core is way better without Kyrie. They need to learn to win on the road, but their home record without him is like 22-4 or 22-3, something like that. And I think they're just tired of playing with him.
Yeah, but don't you think there's a limit to it? So last year, for example, you saw Terry Rozier play pretty well at home anyway in the playoffs, and then not as well on the road. Don't you think there's sort of a cap there? Like, Kyrie's the only one that gives them a chance against these top teams.
I think they're still growing. I mean, MJ didn't win until his fifth year. These guys got to learn, you know, they're still learning how to play together.
So we got to wait three more years for Tatum?
I wouldn't say three more. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. But I'm saying they're just tired of listening to their father on the team, you know, Kyrie. They have a bad game, and Kyrie rips him in public.
And I'm not saying Kyrie's doing everything right, but I think if there was no Kyrie on this team, then there's no championship aspirations at all. There's zero chance. That's how I feel.
I don't think that way.
Do you think you have any with him?
Huh?
Well, not right. Not after the weekend. I don't. But I did when the season started, and even when they were fourth, they got up to third last week, I think, in the standings. You're saying, all right, they could put it together come playoff time, and at least they have that talent. I mean, without Kyrie, based on the team, you don't even have an all-star. And in the NBA, you need like two all-NBA players to win a. But they had the defensive player of the year, and they had a bunch of all-stars, and that was the one example in the last 20 years that you go to. What about every other team?
I mean, it is true that you can't just stick the five most talented players in the NBA together and suddenly expect they're going to play like a team.
But
let
me stop you right there. The Warriors are doing it. The Warriors
have better chemistry than you do.
That's what I'm saying. They just added Boogie Cousins, and everyone's like, oh, Boogie Cousins, oh, blah, 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 you can't win. They just stuck him in their starting lineup.
Now, is that because Steve Kerr is better able to get them all to buy into what the team mentality is than Brad Stevens has been?
I think Steve Kerr is obviously very good at it. I also think that there's no old guy, young guy kind of divide there. I think all the guys, especially that starting lineup,
same age.
They're all about the same age. They kind of know, they all know their roles. They have three guys that are going to score over 20 a game. They have one guy who's going to do all the dirty stuff. And then Cousins, to his credit, has stepped right in and has scored when needed to. He's grabbed rebounds. He's played defense. That team has not missed a beat. They look ridiculous. I mean, it's the best starting five in the history of the NBA, and they're just going to roll through the finals, especially with you got a team like Boston, who should be one of their top competition, is playing like this.
All right, let's try Al on the cell phone again. Hey, Al.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's going on?
That's all right.
Good. What's going on about Kyrie and his lack of leadership? But I don't really feel it's a lack of leadership as much as it is a flaw in his leadership. This is how LeBron leads. This is how LeBron led. This is eerily similar to those Cavaliers teams of the 14 through 18,
where they went through 8-game losing streaks and there was trouble in the locker room. It's very similar. And I'm hoping they can turn it on like they did in the finals on those other teams.
Yeah, it's interesting that you point that out. There's a lot of similarities between he and LeBron. There's no doubt about it. And the problem
he's calling LeBron for advice on how to do this, right?
And the problem is Kyrie is, if you're talking about, you know, that team, like when they first joined up in the Cavs and there were some struggles going on, they weren't going to run away with the top seed in the East, but Kyrie is not as good as LeBron, and whoever this team's version of Kyrie is isn't as good as that Kyrie was. So you're not even as talented. Like LeBron, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love, going back to, what, 2011 and 2012? No, I'm sorry, 15 or whatever it was that they joined there. Not, that was the Miami run. The Cavs run, more talented than this Celtics team is. They at least had the best player in the NBA. As much as I like Kyrie Irving on the floor, he's not that. He can't just say, "All right, we're gonna win today." That's something that LeBron could do.
I mean, it appears clear to me that Anthony Davis has no desire to come here.
No, just ask his dad.
Just none. I mean,
he does not want to be here. No, but he doesn't have a no
here,
trade. So
play here.
You could still get him.
You could, but it would be giving up your assets for a rental,
right?
And the whole thing seems to be tied in. Well, if we keep Kyrie, then we can talk him into coming here and staying here. I mean, you'd have two really great players, but do you want Kyrie Irving to be one of your leaders? One of your centerpieces for your franchise, based on what you've seen, is that what you want?
Yeah, I think so, because who else is it going to be? You know, and they've gotten to this point.
I don't have anybody better. I hate that.
Not really, because what's the backup plan? And if you're telling me re-sign Terry Rozier, then I absolutely reject it.
I'm not suggesting that's a great idea.
No, but I'm saying somebody might. They might say, well, look, he's got a T-shirt. He played well in the playoffs. No, I think Kyrie Irving, as frustrating as it has been, talent wins out in the NBA. Talent wins out in all sports, but even more so in the NBA. And if your duo of Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis are together, that is pretty unstoppable, I think.
If you had to give up Tatum and Brown, which it sounds like you'd have to do, by the way, and that would be for renting Anthony Davis.
I don't do it.
I don't either.
I don't trade Tatum for 1 year of Davis. But then the
And this whole idea, well, once Danny gets him here, he'll be able to talk him into staying.
It could happen, but I'm not sure
he's going to be able to talk Kyrie into staying.
I was going to say, the other fear is, though, if you don't trade for Davis, does Kyrie leave? So essentially, you're giving up Tatum, but then that way you're also getting Kyrie and Davis to play together. That becomes sort of another scenario.
Let's go to Mike in Wakefield. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Gentlemen, sorry, I had to unmute.
No problem.
All right. First of all, Keith, on Friday, you had a guest, Hall of Fame receiver. I believe topic of conversation was Julian Edelman, Hall of Fame type candidate. And I think Mr. Irvin agreed with me.
No, he didn't. No, he did not agree with you. He did not say Hall of Fame. Irvin did not.
He definitely said that he's on the way.
On the way. I mean, okay.
All right. Like I said, we have a few years to argue about that.
We do.
But the point that I wanted to get to, I think it's really intriguing about the AAF and the XFL, and here's why. For years, the players have had the short stick when it comes to negotiating for the CBA, correct?
They have a terrible CBA.
So now the superstars, they can afford to strike. Problem is, all the other guys getting paid veteran minimums are just getting paid, you know.
All right, I can't with the speedway here.
I can't do it, Mike.
You gotta be in like a...
I'm sort of
like
worn out on the whole
30 miles
500
an hour. It's a little loud.
Yeah.
It's a little much.
I mean, I'm happy to have the discussion about the AAF, which made its debut this weekend.
Did you like the AAF?
Oh, it was on this week?
Were you guys a fan of the AAF?
Missed it.
Listen, the fact that nobody knew, including me... And it still went out head-to-head with the NBA and beat the NBA on ABC.
Yeah.
Probably gives you an idea of America's appetite for football.
True.
I wonder.
Although Virginia beat both.
I do wonder how many folks are coming back. You know, how much of it was curiosity?
Yeah,
what's it going to look like?
Right.
Let me see. And by the way, good luck finding a player whose name you recognized.
Christian Hackenberg. Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
And their
my friend Jamie Erdahl was hosting their pregame show.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she was doing the whole pregame
thing. So what's the deal with they have like a connection to the NFL? How are they like their like
CBS,
NFL network stuff? CBS is picking it up. That's fine. But I was like, that's weird.
It's clear to me that they have an XFL mentality, which is basically, we want you to go out and kill people.
Yeah, that was
we
got to
be different than the NFL.
That was
we
the
want you knocking helmets into the third row.
Yeah.
We want you cutting guys in half, which is good up until the point where some guy ends up in a hospital.
I don't think
and
they
the
care.
AAF gets sued for money that they don't have.
Well, I don't think, I mean, they should make everybody sign some sort of waiver so they can protect themselves from that or do something. But I think that's, that highlight
by the way,
that was making the rounds.
Don't mean a thing.
Well, but that highlight that was making the rounds there where the guy's helmet got popped off, that was what got people going, though. Because if you were going to look at the NFL and say, we're going to compete, first of all, I wouldn't. But if you were going to compete against the NFL in some way, even though you're not going head to head with them, but still, you're trying to start your own football league, one of the things that people love about football that is getting taken away is the big hits. So it makes sense that you would try to make sure it is a big part of your game.
We'll talk more about that as well as we continue on. Chris Mannix will join us at the bottom of the hour. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
So you have all of these cut up onions all over your house, and eventually you're going to get better, I would think.
So what do you do with the onions? Because they're all toxic. They're all brown. They're all carrying your disease.
She fought me like tooth and nail the fact that, it actually does work.
You sound like...
The onion turned brown.
Yeah, because the air, the oxygen.
That's an apple.
Same thing with onions.
It's 2019. You
know,
see a freaking doctor.
Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier. 2 to 6 weekdays on Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI and WEEI.com. Boston.
Contractors and builders, SurfaceWorks provides complete post-construction cleanup services. Get your job site cleaned and call SurfaceWorks at 617-926-7633. 926-7633 or SurfaceWorksInc.com.
What gives one company the edge over another? Maybe it's not one thing. Maybe it's taking care of lots of things that help a business run smoothly. In other words, Cintas. Cintas has products that help your people stay safe and apparel programs that convey the right image. They service fire protection equipment, deliver and stock restroom supplies, and make sure facilities are clean and ready. Because when all those things work together, you're in business.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
The Radio.com app is the best way to hear your favorite radio stations from across the country. The best music, breaking news, podcasts, they all live here. But did you know we have a Radio.com newsletter? Sign up today and get updates on new stations, exclusive content, new app features, product launches, national contests, local shows, and more from Radio.com. Go to Radio.com/newsletter and start getting your updates today.
By now, you've heard about how important our maintenance program is on Awaken 180 Weight Loss with those free weigh-ins for the rest of your life. And it's really amazing to see our clients take advantage of this absolutely terrific program. We have clients who come in monthly, and most of them miss our coaches and come in just to say hi. And we have clients who come in every 3 months. We even have clients who only come in when their lifestyle changes, when they get a new job, when they have a baby, when they retire, just to help figure out what their new habits are going to be.
Thanks, Paige. As you all know, I lost 45 pounds with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. That was about 4 years ago, and I'm still receiving free support from the Awaken 180 coaches whenever I need it or want it. Whether it's a question about exercise, tips for meal prep, or even a complete body composition analysis, it's all provided for free when on maintenance with Awaken 180. Set up your consultation today, 5 locations, the newest in Littleton, or check them out online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Always Health Partners dedicates this song to Chris. His company has been a loyal customer for over 2 years.
Chris, it's time to say thank you. This loyalty reward comes to you. Chris, you can do it balance running shoes, and so do your coworkers.
Always Health Partners, the first health plan offering a loyalty program for eligible large employers. Call your broker or visit alwayshealthpartners.org, a member of Partners Healthcare.
This is what First and Thrilling feels like. This is what First and Delicious tastes like. With over 40 restaurants, from steaks to seafood to burgers and everything in between. And this is what First and Entertainment sounds like. With Kelly Clarkson and Blake Shelton appearing this March. Because this is Mohegan Sun, USA Today's #1 casino.
The colder weather is here, and you need to stay in shape. Do it in the comfort and privacy of your own home. Stop by Precision Fitness Equipment and try the latest display of Life Fitness treadmills, ellipticals, rowing machines, life cycles, and home gyms. Precision Fitness Equipment's experts will work with you to select the right equipment to meet all your fitness goals. They also deliver, set up, and service everything they sell. Precision Fitness Equipment has 7 stores throughout New England. Stop in today and try out the top brands, including Life Fitness, Bodyguard, Inspire, Matrix, and Water Rower. Whether you're looking for the best home equipment or your company, school, or municipality wants to design a fitness room, Precision Fitness Equipment has the right equipment for you. Boston's top pro athletes rely on Precision Fitness Equipment. Why not you? Visit PrecisionFitnessEquipment.com or visit a nearby showroom today in Newton, Framingham, Attleboro, Hanover, Nashua, Northampton, New Hampshire, or their newest location in Auburn, Mass. PrecisionFitnessEquipment.com.
You know what's really inconvenient? I'm with Bob, president of J.N. Phillips Auto Glass.
A shattered side or rear window?
Ugh, especially in the winter.
Just call J.N. Phillips and we'll fit you in right away. If the glass is in stock, we'll replace it then and there. If not, we'll put a piece of heavy-duty plastic over the window free of charge.
And then do the replacement when the glass is in.
Usually within 24 hours. Visit jnphillips.com or call 877-AUTO-GLASS because there's a lot more behind your windshield than you think.
Northeast Men's Clinic is New England's leader in men's sexual medicine, treating erectile dysfunction and low testosterone. There is hope for ED. Northeast Men's Clinic, 617-793-5000. NortheastMen'sClinic.com.
The exclusive home of Patriots Monday with Tom Brady. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston. Radio.com Sports Station. Trending now. Now from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. A WEEI Trending Now.
It's 11:13. Here's what's trending now, brought to you by Progressive Insurance New England Boat Show. Come see what's making waves for 2019 at the Progressive Insurance New England Boat Show, presented by West Marine, now through February 17th at the Boston Convention and Events Center. Tickets and show details at newenglandboatshow.com. Celtics and Bruins both off tonight. Both will be in action tomorrow. The Seas, fresh off of back-to-back losses to the Lakers and Clippers, will face the 76ers in Philly. Kyrie Irving day-to-day with a strained right knee. The Bees, who won in overtime Saturday and Sunday, are home again tomorrow, taking on Chicago. And the Beanpot Championship game is tonight between Boston College and Northeastern. Weather brought to you by SBLI. Life insurance that treats you better. Visit SBLI.com today. It's cloudy in Boston, temperatures in the low 30s. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Dell's President's Day sale is live. Get deals on Dell business computers with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/business deals. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
This is the Dale and Keefe Show.
He's had been fun for a long time. No matter, you know, winning or not, you know, the attitude is, it is what it is.
Dale Arnold. The reality is that this game destroys people's brains. Rich Keefe.
Dale shows up and you couldn't understand a word he said. He comes in.
I don't know if I can do the show.
He had a bag of medicine, throws it on the table, and we're like, I don't know if that's going to help you. Rossi had to send him home.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
What should I get my wife for Valentine's Day?
You're asking a guy who's been divorced twice about Valentine's Day? What are you, right, crazy?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. The countdown is on. I think we're about 20 minutes away from the liquid oxycodone kicking in. Oh, Ross, are you ready for that? I'll be singing show tunes here by the bottom of the hour. Chris Mannix is going to join us and go, who the hell is that? He might work blue. You got to be careful back there. Anything could happen.
I'm just going to flip it right over the AM feed.
Yeah, smart. Anything could happen here. We mentioned briefly at the top of the hour the whole the origination this weekend of the AAF. Now, AAF. I know. I actually listened to AAF more this weekend than I watched the AAF. Yeah, that's definitely true. I am one of those people who had zero faith in the AAF succeeding, even less faith in the XFL succeeding, which happens a year from now. I know. I can't wait. I do think that there is a limit to how much football. Even the most fervent football fans have. Yeah. And somebody said to me, I said over the weekend that I was finding a hard cranking up enough interest in the AAF. And the guy said, well, if you gamble on it,
I said, how the hell do you gamble on this? Do you know anybody on any roster?
with money.
I know how you two gamble, which is...
With money.
Just throwing it good money after bad.
Wherever you want.
Do people actually gamble on rosters they don't know?
Of course they do,
Dale. Or teams they don't understand?
Next month, there's going to be people taking wagers on spring training baseball. Yeah, it happens. You can bet on anything.
Unbelievably
for
stupid.
Sure. Yeah, this was... I didn't even realize this was the weekend. I saw it on Twitter. I didn't watch any of it. And I understand that the ratings were pretty good. Part of it just has to be intrigue. Like, I'm sure it's like week one of a TV show. Like, all right, I'll give it a shot. But I don't know if you're going to necessarily go back to it. And then next year, it's going to be really bizarre when you have two of these leagues competing against each other. I don't know how that's going to work. But I wonder if the NFL is ever going to try to absorb one of these leagues and treat it as a minor league. Like, remember NFL Europe? It kind of had that where there were guys who were... belong to certain franchises. Like, they would have like a little patch, like, oh, that guy's on the Chargers, that's cute, and like they would have like little things on their uniform. I wonder if they would try to do that, because without any kind of connection there to the NFL, I really don't care. Now, I know there are plenty of people out there who just love football. Football is their absolute favorite thing, and that's great. God bless you. You're gonna like this league, I bet. But for me, it's like, perfect. Now, more time watching basketball, more time watching hockey. I even like college basketball. I still have plenty of things to watch. Baseball's like a month away. I'm good with a little bit of a break from football. And then you get excited about it. The draft comes up. You can talk all about that. And then you get into preseason just around the corner. I don't need, as much as I love football, and I love it, I don't need it to be 12 months.
The Dale and Keefe Twitter feed sent out the video of the quarterback getting destroyed.
Yeah, nice
and
hit.
The helmet getting popped off.
NFL blitz.
And I understand completely that if you're the AAF, or especially when the XFL comes out, what you're going to sell is, if you think the NFL has become too soft, too watered down, we're bringing the violence back.
Yeah.
We're going to bring, which sounds great.
Right.
And it's there's a certain element out there who miss that, who are going to gravitate to that at least to start. And that's all well and good until, as I said, somebody ends up in a hospital for a month.
Yeah, but what's that going
to
do?
And then what they're going to do is say, ooh, you know what? Maybe we have to look at what the NFL's
Why?
Doing
because
and protect players
but
more.
But not in this league, though, Dale, because that guy that got hit, what was his name? I don't know either. Right? Like,
yeah,
that's my whole point.
But when his name appears on a lawsuit against your league...
So you're worried about lawsuits, then?
Well, I just think that they can't survive them.
Why?
If some guy
gets... So what's he going to do? He's like, oh, yeah, I got hurt playing football? So what's the deal? I don't understand that.
In the same way the NFL has decided... We can't let that happen anymore. We can't afford the lawsuits.
Yeah, but wasn't
anymore.
That more because they were sort of ignoring these things and like the way that was sort of policed before? I don't think they were aware of head injuries, or they didn't talk about them as much. I don't think that's their fear. And if anything, it's not like if Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady goes down, or Deshaun Watson gets down, or Drew Brees. They just have nameless, faceless quarterback get hurt. They're going to bring up another nameless, faceless quarterback. So I think their only way of succeeding is the big hits. They need every weekend when these games are played to have a highlight on SportsCenter, or to have a Twitter video start trending because of a hit. That's their best chance of survival. If they don't have that, then it's just minor league football.
There were a couple of things, and this always happens, where you get some innovation, and you look at it and you say, you know what? I like that. The whole officials replay thing. The NFL should take a page from the AAF's book. Go live. Listen to what they're saying. This and actually here,
right.
I don't know who the woman was.
Yeah,
was
I don't know either, but saw that. I saw that too.
Change her mind.
Right.
You know what? No, that's not what happened.
Yeah, that makes more sense, doesn't it?
Perfect.
Plus,
the NFL should look at that and say, yeah, we got to have that in our league next year.
And it's not as much filler, because that's where you get, you know, Nance and Romo having to look at it a thousand times with you. And
I don't
like,
know. What do you think? I don't know.
Let's bring in Gene. Gene, what do you think? And then Gene's never right, or he's like 50-50 on those. So... yeah, that makes a little bit more sense. I mean, just like the XFL, with some of their camera angles, that was something that the NFL wasn't doing, and then they sort of stole it from the XFL. So some of these leagues may have
like
some
that.
Good ideas.
Yeah. It's things like that,
yeah,
which the NFL will say, you know what, we'll steal that, we'll take that, we like that. But do I think that the NFL is feeling any fear because of you know, competition for the AAF or the XFL? Not even a little.
They might kind of like it. Right? Like, because they all of a sudden, if they're looking for talent and a guy all of a sudden that you missed, and a lot of these guys were in practice squads anyway, like they said, over half the league has some NFL experience. Whether or not they were in a game, I don't know, but they at least were in a camp, on a roster, on a practice squad. And so if all of a sudden these late bloomers and they perform really well there, well, if they have the choice between doing another season there or joining your team in the NFL in the fall, they're going to clearly do that.
If you were putting an over-under number on how many guys from the AAF end up on, not practice squads, but legitimate NFL rosters next year, and I set the over-under number at 10.
Oof, that's a good number. I would say over, just over.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, think about it. There are guys that have these strange paths that played arena league football or played, you know, in Europe or had to go to Canada, and then they came in there. And you figure 32 teams, so if one out of every three teams says, hey, we'll bring a guy in, we'll give him a shot, yeah, I think that could happen. Some of them, you know, were not in the league that long ago. I mean, think about it. Josh Johnson was a guy. I don't know if he played this weekend or not, but remember the Redskins signed him after he'd already been drafted.
We'll go eight deep on our quarterback depth chart.
So they needed him. They were running out of guys. Everybody was getting hurt, so they brought him in there. So I think so. I think there's I don't know how much talent the league necessarily has, but I think enough to get into an NFL camp, sure. But I just don't know if it'll ever be like, oh, I gotta watch the AAF this weekend. Like, I don't think that'll ever
happen. I hit it by accident. I'm not going to lie to you. I hit it by accident. There really wasn't much buzz about it. There wasn't much, hey, don't miss the AAF, the debut of the AAF this weekend.
Nope, not at all.
I hit it initially because, you know, Jamie Erdahl's a friend of mine. I think she does really nice work. They've put her in a nice spot there. She did a nice job on the pregame show.
More jobs for media members. Well, there you go. I'm in favor of it.
I watched a little bit of it, but I didn't stick with it.
No, I definitely did not.
And I probably won't seek it out on a weekly basis, will you?
No, not at all. I'm telling you,
and you're a big football fan.
I love football, but I have zero interest in it. If this was on head-to-head with a Duke or a Kentucky basketball game,
Celtics,
I'm watching that. Well, Celtics-Bruins is on another level. I got Celtics-Bruins, but even like that next tier down, when you're sitting there looking around for something to watch, this is nowhere, not even close to on my radar. Like, I don't care. I know a lot of people were talking about it. It got a pretty good initial rating. I think it's smart. They had a couple of games on Saturday, a couple of games on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's smart. You're appealing to the college fans out there as well. So I get it. But I can't imagine in even 3 years we're talking about either of these leagues being around.
And next year, when you've got two of these.
Yeah, what is that? Good luck.
Two of these post-Super Bowl leagues try to, you know, grab your attention at the same time.
I don't know where they're going to get all the talent for two of these leagues. I really
I didn't know who half the talent.
Well, that's my point.
I didn't know who 90% of the talent was this weekend.
And so think about that. You're going to create another. What is the XFL, Ross? Is it eight teams as well? Does that sound right?
Eight teams, yes. And they're playing in NFL stadiums.
So they have eight.
A good plan.
They have eight AAF teams and eight XFL teams. So you need 16 more rosters? Think about that. Think about the NFL. Think about who's on some of the quarterbacks that are on rosters. And then you have to find 16 other or like 32 other guys.
They're out there. There's plenty of talent.
No, there's not.
I would almost guarantee you that Vince McMahon or a representative of Vince McMahon has already offered Colin Kaepernick a job.
Kaepernick, Tebow, Manziel. It's as simple as that. Those are the three guys you need. Those are the three I would watch. If you told me Tim Tebow was playing yesterday, I would have watched it. If you told me that Johnny Manziel, I would have turned it on. Colin Kaepernick, I don't really care as much about, to be honest, like the football player. I know his story is more off the field. Tebow and Manziel, see those guys out there? I would watch that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mike's in Lawrence. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are you?
I watched a little bit of the AAF this weekend, and I found it semi-entertaining. One of the things, I don't know if you watched it and you noticed it, did you notice how thin these guys are?
Thin? No.
Thin. Well, so they had some guys listed at like 6 feet tall, 175 pounds.
Yikes.
If you want,
they might not last long.
That's a little guy.
I'm not talking offensive linemen or linemen. I'm just talking about, you know, like the running backs and some of the receivers. And I noticed that they're from the waist down, they were just built differently than NFL athletes. They just don't have that power. But I was semi-entertained. But I think we all know what Mike Martz has been up to since he's been out of the NFL.
Yeah.
Eating the buffet.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do, you know?
But I say give it a chance. I think it's going to be – I think it might be a quick, speedy game with some arena element to it where some gadget plays are tried more often than not. It might be kind of entertaining.
Oh, you know what? That's another good point, Mike. The games that went by pretty quick. I think that's also an advantage for them. Like, I don't think, now there's four games, I don't know what all the times were on all of them, but I don't think they were three hours, 15 minutes like a lot of NFL games are. I think they were a lot quicker, so that could help them out.
Jackson, Rhode Island. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Great.
I just wanted to figure out if I read the correct stuff about the AAF and their sort of like minor league affiliation with the NFL. I read that each team would be like partnered with four or five NFL teams and then one CFL team, and their rights as a player are technically owned by those teams. Did I get that right?
I don't know about that. I don't think that's right.
I was just trying to read up and figure out how in the world they're going to thrive and survive, but that aspect kind of made a little bit of sense to me. It's all based on region, and they're owned by the NFL teams and CFL teams that are around where they went to college or where they grew up. Thought that was kind of interesting. I just want to see if you guys have anything to.
Oh, I have no idea on that.
Yeah.
No, I have no clue. I don't think they're. Now, I was surprised to see that they were on the NFL network. Like, that I didn't realize was. They have to have some sort of connection, but. Rossi, do you know what
there's a league affiliation, but there's not what he's talking about is not part of.
Yeah, they don't have like the Patriots AAF team is so and so.
Right, they don't have
it's not like they have a minor league affiliation. You know, it's not like the NFL teams are subsidizing these rosters.
Yeah,
this is Charlie Ebersol's idea here. Dick Ebersol's son, he came up with this whole thing. Maybe this will work.
It says the alliance operates as a single entity with all the teams owned and operated by the league.
Right.
So, yeah, forget the
which
NFL
is,
stuff.
You want to talk about price fixing and collusion?
Yeah.
When you have one entity owning all the teams, you can pretty much set the price, can't you?
So also, players are expected to get three-year non-guaranteed contracts worth $250,000 plus health insurance with an escape clause to go to the NFL. So
there you go.
All right.
Chris Mannix is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the plight of the Boston Celtics and what Brad Stevens can do from here. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.